Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message.
We're on part three of our series called Squad Goals. And so what we've been doing all month long, what we're doing through the month of July is we're discovering ways that we can have better squads, ways that we can have our horizontal relationships, our friendships, maybe with your family members, maybe with coworkers. It might be your barista. You know, you guys got a special relationship. They know the order that you're going to get tomorrow morning. Whatever that looks like for you, we've been saying, hey, what if we could have better squads? What if we could kind of work through things and improve on our relationships? What would that look like? And we're also contextualizing it, meaning we're bringing it right here home at Truth Community Church, because all month long we've been talking about groups. I cannot wait for groups. Anyone else? I cannot wait for groups. I'm excited for it. And so here's why people are excited. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be launching groups in September, home groups. Next week, you're going to find out where those groups are. So I'm so excited for it. All month long, we've been doing group interest cards. We're going to talk a little bit about that today as well. But today, I want to talk about pushing people, pushing someone. I would say turn to your neighbor and push them, but I don't want to start fights. So try not to, don't push the person next to you. But last month was my brother-in-law's birthday party, and we were over at his house, and we were just having a good time. And the day before that, I had my kids at the playground, and we were doing what we do at playgrounds. We find swings, and we get our kids on them, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. And so we've got our kids on the swing, and Amy and I are both pushing them, and it's going great. And, you know, sometimes you just need a little help. Like, as a four-year-old, they don't get the pump the leg thing yet. So we're just, look, we'll push you, put the legs out, and you come back, bring it in. But they need help. In order for them to get as high as they can, they need help being pushed. So my son sees us doing this on that day, and the next day we're over at my brother-in-law's birthday, and he decides, I'm going to do what mom and dad did to me, but to my two-year-old sister while she's on the swing. And I do have a little video. I think Rachel's going to throw it up here of exactly what this looks like. So you just get a visual there. Aren't they cute? But you see the anger in his face. There's something, he's really, so you can see as it goes on, he starts to slow down, buddy. Just be kind, be kind. But when he got started with that, man, I mean, he is just pushing her. And we were trying to teach him, like, dude, the goal is not for you to push your sister off the swing or for you to cause spinal injury. Like, we want to push just enough so that she gets to where she needs to be on the swing. And so today I want to talk about how we push one another in our lives and how we need people in our lives to actually push us, but in a way where it doesn't cause spinal injury, okay? In a way where it's not like you want to turn around and then punch them after they pushed you. Because this is kind of, if I could sum up culture's idea and really my personal idea when I consider someone pushing me, in one sentence it's this: no one can push me. No one can push me. Right, no person has the right to push me in my life. Think about it. If you're going through something in your life, what's the last thing you want? Someone to come up and tell you how to go through what you're going through. That's what it is. If you're going through something, if you're facing something, it's like someone offers you this great advice, and you're like, bro, back off. Like, you do not know what I'm going through. I know you've been there, done that, but I really don't need you to push me right now in this area of my life. And so this kind of sums up where we land on our horizontal relationships. Can someone push you? No one can push me. It's why when someone starts to push you a little bit on social media, it gets ugly fast. You've seen it happen. It's great when you're a bystander, you're just watching the fireworks go off between the comments, and then it just dies out. What happened? Well, he unfriended him. That's what happened there. And there was some blocking that went on in social media. Because we don't like to be pushed. Some of you today, maybe your first or second time, you're hoping, like, am I going to get pushed? Like, you came out to church today, and you have questions. Like, is someone going to push me towards doing something I don't want to do? Because for every single one of us, we were created with this right, right? We call it our right to live the life that we want to live. And when someone comes in and they try to push us a certain way, we want to push them out of the picture. And it doesn't make a difference if they're right or if they're wrong. The issue is you have no right. You, the person, no one has the right to push me. Now, here's the problem with that if we really live this out. The problem is then we are subscribing to this. My wisdom and my experience will get me through what I'm going through. my wisdom and my experience will get me through what I'm going through. And I know for me, I can't just rely on my own experience when I face something. I just can't, especially if it's a new something. If I haven't had the experience yet through that situation, how am I supposed to trust Keith to bring me through that when I've never been through that before? And if I just trust my own wisdom and I just kind of work out the numbers in my head and map it all out and plan out the calendar and say, well, this is what it'll hopefully end up like, how am I supposed to trust me in that situation? But if I buy into no one can push me, well, then I'm just going to keep leaning into my own wisdom and my own experience. But here's the problem. We don't like to be pushed, right? That's the truth. You don't have to be a Christian to agree with that. We just don't like to be pushed. We don't like it when just anyone shows, oh, don't you worry. And then you can make it Christian too. Christians, we got this. Brother, let me tell you. Sister, I've been praying about this. And suddenly it's like we bring God into the pushing. You're like, no, hold on a second. You can't get away with that. Like no one can push me is what we buy into. But here's the dangerous part. Here's why you should consider this today. Because if you live your life with that as your idea, as your theology, as your philosophy, as your way of living, whatever it comes down to, if you say no one can push me, you're going to be left isolated. And you're going to have to navigate through life on your own. And listen, you might get it right, you might get it wrong, but you're rolling the dice with greater risk if you're going to say, look, I'm going to live this thing the way I want to live it, and no other person, no one horizontally has the right to push me in this scenario. Isolation isn't healthy. I was doing some research and I read a study put out by Harvard University that they said isolation can be just as deadly as smoking every day. And look, if you smoke, go on with yourself. That's cool. We're not against that here. So don't take that part. But just think that isolation, they were saying from a standpoint, it separates you from humanity, that it's almost like this disease that you carry with you. That it's like, man, you are so off kilter of how you should be living. And this is just a Harvard study. This isn't Bible-based or anything. It's just, hey, we just looked at the facts, and isolation is deadly if you live out your life that way. And so if we live out and someone gets close to us and someone starts to lean into what we're going through and they want to put a little push on us, we say, no, no one can push me. We're putting ourselves in a place where we can't live out our best lives, where we can't make decisions, where it's deadly for us to live that way. So here's what I want to offer you today. As opposed to us just saying no one can push me, what if we really looked at the heart of that statement and we considered this? Anyone shouldn't push you, but someone should push you. Okay, there's a difference there. Anyone shouldn't push you, but someone should push you. And here's the difference. Anyone is very general. Right? You and me, we don't want just anyone showing up, anyone looking into our lives. You haven't met them before. They overheard you on the phone at Starbucks. Hey, I couldn't help but listen. And I've been there. And you're like, I don't know you. Step away from me. Thank you. Like, anyone should not just push you in your life. You shouldn't just be sitting in a place where you say, okay, anyone can come up and they can just offer me advice and they could tell me what I should do in my life. That's the stuff that gets us annoyed. When anyone tries to push us. But it's not the same thing as when someone tries to push us. And so this brings up the next question. Who is someone? What is a someone? What's the difference between an anyone and a someone? What does a someone look like in our lives where horizontally they have this personality, these characteristics, whatever it is, where when they say something, we don't want to push them away, but instead we say, okay, because you're someone, I'm going to consider what you have to say. Doesn't mean you're going to automatically do it. Doesn't mean if you show up and offer me advice and say, I've been there, I've gone through that, I think the Bible says, I think God wants you to, I think you should consider. Look, just because they say that doesn't mean you're going to do it. But what if we could find that someone in our life, we'd say, yeah, when they push me, I don't push back. When that someone pushes me, I embrace what they have to say. And that's what I want us to consider today. Because you and I need someones in our lives. Because you can't just live out, no one can push me. And we all feel like, hey, anyone shouldn't push me. But what if today we land in a place where we say, someone should push me. Who is someone? So we're going to read one sentence today. It's written by, we don't know. Okay, it's from the book of Hebrews. We're going to talk about that. It's in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. But we're just going to read one sentence today. And almost 2,000 years ago, this sentence is written. And in it, we find out who a someone is for our lives, who someone should be for you. If you're going to let anyone push you on the swing, if you're going to let anyone push you in your life, who should that someone be? So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, will be up here on the screen. It says, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this is one sentence we're going to camp out on, and we're going to discover who a someone is for us to be pushed by. Now, interestingly, we don't know who wrote this. Like, historians are just kind of arguing over who wrote this letter called Hebrews. Who was it? Was it Paul? Was it someone else? We just don't know. But we do know this about the author. We know that he or she knew people who knew Jesus. When this was written by the person that wrote this, this person knew people who personally knew Jesus. We call them apostles, eyewitnesses of Jesus. He died and came back to life. This person knew them. Now, the other thing we don't know is you're coming to church hearing a lot of I don't knows. This is validating what you think about church right now. So we don't know who the audience is in this. We don't know. Generally, we know it was written to Jesus followers, but it's not like when Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians. We call it Galatians because he wrote it to the church of Galatia. Hebrews is just like, we don't know who exactly wrote it. We don't know exactly who it was for, but we do know the person that wrote it knew some people that knew Jesus, and we do know that he wrote to some people who knew Jesus, okay? So that's where we're going with this. So if you're not a Jesus follower, you say, well, I can grab onto this because they have a lot of questions. You've got a lot of questions, and here we are with our questions today about who wrote it and who it's for. And yet, despite all of that, the author of this letter is ending his letter with this sentence. It's a run-on sentence. I love run-on sentences. Just comma, comma, comma. How much can I fit in this sentence? He ends it with this sentence, and in it, we discover who a someone is that can push us. Four characteristics of a someone. And he starts off with this. Let us consider. Let us consider. Have you ever met a considerate person before? Hopefully you have. Have you ever met an inconsiderate person before? Yes, you have. This is Long Island. They're everywhere, right? Especially on the roads. If you're in the left lane going slow, I'm inconsiderate in that moment. I'm going to go around you on the right. But we know inconsiderate people. We know considerate people. And you know the difference between those people. So I've got a couple friends that are very considerate, that whenever I'm going through something, they consider what it is that I'm going through, and they respond in a considerate way. They are more loving. They are more caring. Whenever I have any big days that come up, they remember those big days. Like, they don't need Facebook to remind them that it's my birthday. You know those people in your life? Like, they didn't even check Facebook yet, and they're already saying happy birthday to you. Right? They're considerate. They think about you. They're concerned about you. They care about you. I've got one friend that will break into the church, break into my office, and decorate my office for my birthday. And I walk in, and I hit my head on a balloon, and I scream because I'm scared. I'm like, oh, man, it was a considerate friend. Got to get that key back. Right? Whatever that looks like for you. But you know what it's like to have considerate people and inconsiderate people in your life. And I think it's so awesome that the first thing that this author writes is, let us consider. Let us consider. Let us actually pay attention to what is going on. Let us actually invest in what we're about to do. Because you can flippantly push someone. You can just go up behind him and just say, hey, you know what? You should do this with the decision. Go on and have a nice day. That's an inconsiderate way to push someone. Or you can find someone who will consider you, consider what you're going through. Say, yeah, in light of everything you're facing, what if we consider this? So consider is the first quality we want to find in someone. He goes on and says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So let us be considerate. What are we going to consider? How to stir up one another. I'm saying today how to push someone. How to push someone towards love and good works. Now there's two things that go together if you are going to stir someone up, if you are going to push someone. And one of the words I don't like at all, it's confrontational. I don't like the word confrontational. In fact, I'm confronted by the word confrontational. I don't embrace it. For so long in my life, I hated having ever used this, the hard talk with someone, right? The real, the necessary talk, because I knew it was going to be weird. I don't like weird. Don't put me in an awkward situation. It's like, well, you're a pastor. That's part of your job. I know, but I don't want to do it. Like, you go do it. It's your job. But for so often in my life, like, it's just, I don't want to be confrontational because that word itself carries such a negative vibe with it. Are you going to confront the person? You're going to call them out on it? And if that's your idea, let's remove some of that. Because when you confront someone, it doesn't mean you have to be ready to go to battle with them. It just means that you're so considerate of what they're going through and who they are. You're saying, I can't just not say anything here. You know what I found for me? When I would lean more into loving the person as opposed to being confrontational with the person, you know who I was more in love with in that moment? Me. I was more in love with me than I was with you. If I don't want to talk to you about what you're going through, it's because I love what we have going on. And I love me, and I love the feelings that we have right now. And if I bring this up, it might jeopardize the relationship. It might cause some awkward tension. It might be an issue here. So instead of being confrontational, I'm just going to be compassionate, brother. I love you. God's got you. And I'm praying he brings someone into your life to tell you about what's going on in your life. Because, Lord, you need it, but it's not going to be me. And this is what we do. Right, we put against each other confrontation and compassion. And instead of seeing them as two sides of the same coin, we say, well, there are compassionate people that just love on people, and then there are those confrontational people. They've got like one friend on Facebook. They've driven everyone away. No, you've got that wrong. I want to read you a quote that Pastor Tim Keller put out when it comes to truth and sentimentality and love and consider. Look what he says here, if we could throw that up. Love without truth, okay? So we're going to say compassion without confrontation is sentimentality. It supports and affirms us, but it keeps us in denial about our flaws. And then truth without love is harshness, because you felt that before. You had someone that wasn't compassionate. They just wanted to confront you. They just called you out and said, no, you've got to stop doing this right now. You need to get your life right. You don't need to make that purchase. You know where this ends up. You need to change your ways. And you're like, there was no love there at all. And what does he say? They do it in such a way we can't really hear it. You've had that. I've had that. Someone shows up and they haven't considered you. That's in anyone that walked into your life and gave you a push and you turned around and dropkicked them. I don't want you to push me because you're not considering me. Because you're not compassionate in how you are pushing me. And so the author of Hebrews says, let us consider how to stir each other up. But to stir each other up and to push each other, we need to be confrontational and compassionate. It's a both and. If you want someone in your life that's going to weigh into the situations you're going through, because isolation isn't how you want to live, and no one can push me isn't a right way to live, and anyone shouldn't push me is right, but we still need that someone, you need a someone that is willing to be confrontational and compassionate. And if you find either or in someone, that's when it gets ugly. That's when it gets a little weird and a little hard. Like, it's great, we go out, we celebrate, we have fun, but there's never any real deep conversation. They're not super concerned with the decisions I'm making. They're just watching you make bad decision after bad decision, bad purchase, bad relationship. But whatever it looks like in your life, they're not willing to talk about it because they're super compassionate. But if you want someone to push you, they've got to be confrontational and compassionate. And so the last part of this, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works and not neglecting to meet together. Not neglecting to meet together. I love New Year's Day. Okay, I'm a type A personality. New Year's Day is like Christmas Day for me. Okay, you know why? Because it's just like a new year. Like, I get a new calendar. I get a blank calendar. I'm going to do a new eating regimen. I've got all these new resolutions and these new goals. I love new. You know what I don't love? January 4th. Because by January 4th, everything I said I was going to do has already been done. Like, as in, it's over. I'm not doing it anymore. And there's this commitment issue that we have. We get so hyped and so excited about, this is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to be now. Man, I'm going to see this through. And then some time passes, and like, we forget all about that. And so what the author here is saying, let's not neglect to meet each other. That someone in your life needs to be committed. They need to be willing to be invested with you when it's easy and when it's not so easy. When things are going well and when things are getting kind of weird. And there's more moments where it's like, we've got to have the hard talks because I love you so much and I've considered so much what we should talk about. I'm so committed to you that I'm going to have this conversation. I'm going to give you a little push because I'm committed to you more than I'm even committed to the relationship. And I know that that's heavy. Like, this is 9:30 gathering. This is way heavy for, like, some, get some more coffee if you need to. But think about it. Like, we need people in our life. I need people in my life who are so committed to what I'm doing and the decisions I'm making, that they're more committed to that than they even are to the awkward tension that the conversation might bring up, that the pushing might bring up. You need someone today who is considerate, who is confrontational and compassionate, and who's committed to you. That's who we want in our lives. That person comes along and they give you a push and you don't get upset with them. It still is gonna sting. It's still gonna hurt some, but they're so considerate. They're so confrontational and compassionate. They're so committed that you embrace that push. So let me tell you a story. It took place thousands of years before this sentence was written. And it was about a prophet named Nathan and a king named David. So there was this king in Israel. His name was David. And it's so great because he's known as a man after God's own heart. And yet, despite his passion for God, he's still screwed up. Just to give you some background, like, you're not sitting in a room filled with perfect church people. You're sitting in a room filled with perfect screw-ups. Okay, can I say that about you? It's okay. We all mess up. We all mess up. Okay, yes, it's true. We all mess up, except for Gina. She good. But David loved God, and yet he messed up. And so he did something that we don't shine a light on his life because we don't like to shine lights on our screw-ups. But David was a person like any one of us. And so David, while he has a relationship, sees another woman he wants to have a relationship with and decides to sleep with her, and she gets pregnant, and then he tries to cover up the whole thing by bringing her husband home from war, gets him drunk so that he'll go home and sleep with his wife and then say the baby's yours. He doesn't do it, so instead David kills him. That's in the Bible, right? Like, some of you thought the Bible was boring. You should read 2 Samuel chapter 12, right? That'd be great sitcom for you, great drama TV. That's in there. That's David saying, I screwed up. Let me cover the screw up. We'll just wipe this thing away. We'll just kill the guy. We'll take care of that. Marries Bathsheba and just thinks everything's done. But David has a someone in his life named Nathan who shows us all four of these things that the author of Hebrews writes about thousands of years later. So here's what Nathan does. The first thing he does is he considers what and how he's going to talk to the king. Because remember, King David is King David. You come up to the king and you say, hey, you did something wrong. Well, that's just an Alice in Wonderland moment. Off with her head. Off with his head. You're just done. Just take him out. Don't even let him finish what he's trying to say right there. But Nathan considers, because Nathan is David's friend. Nathan's been with David as David has taken the throne and gone through these different moments. And so Nathan considers, how in the world am I going to call the king out on all he just did? And so what he does first is he tells the king a story. He tells me, he makes up a story. Hey, king, there was this man, he had a lot of sheep, and there was this other guy who was poor, he had one lamb, and the rich guy took the poor guy's lamb and just for himself because people were coming around, he needed a lamb for dinner. What happened there? And the king is like crazy irate and angry. Well, that rich guy, something's got to be done about that. You don't take the poor man's lamb. You got all these sheep. You're telling me, who is he? Let's kill him. Nathan considers how he's going to talk to the king. Then Nathan does his great most, says, you're that guy, bro. Like, that was the story. You missed it. It was about you, remember? But he demonstrates for us in that moment confrontation and compassion. Nathan doesn't go running into the king's court. Hey, I saw that. I know what you did. You killed him. You impregnated her. You have a baby now. He doesn't do that. That's confrontation. He is compassionate. He is considerate as he's talking to the king. And you want to talk about commitment to David? He's more committed to making sure that David is pushed in the right direction than he is to his own life. Because for Nathan to show up and speak that way to the king and share with the king what the king did and no one knew about, he has to be committed to David because he's not committed to his life because he knows how this can go. He knows the king can just snap his fingers and Nathan is dead. And so Nathan shows up and is this someone to David. Let's fast forward to today, July 15th. Where in the world are we going to find someone like that in our lives? Where are you going to find someone who is so considerate about you, who is so confrontational and compassionate and so committed to making sure you're pushed in the right direction. Where are we going to find that today? Where we live in a world with thousands of friends on social media, and yet we can feel so alone. I can feel so alone. Where are we going to find people that will push us? And you know what's interesting is the author of that sentence that we read, he starts off and says, and let us. He's writing to Jesus followers. He's writing to people who say, I understand that God, you're so good. I understand that Jesus, you love us. He's writing to Christians and saying, hey, let us be these someones to people. What motivates you today, if you are a Christ follower, to be that someone to someone? It's that Jesus is your someone. Think about it. This is the gospel, that God considered your issue. God considered you needed a push in the right direction. God saw Keith and considered and said, Keith is living for himself. Keith is filled with sin. Keith is filled with selfishness. And God, in his considering, sends Jesus to this world. And Jesus confronts sin in such a dramatic way, and he is so compassionate to the sinners in a dramatic way. Isn't that beautiful? He confronts sin when he walks this world, and yet he is compassionate to the people around him who need him desperately. And you want to talk about commitment? Jesus was so committed to making sure you would be pushed in the right direction that he dies on a cross for you. And he comes to this world and lays down his life so that you could find life in him. And so if you're questioning right now and saying, I don't know where I'm going to find that someone who's going to push me as I navigate finances and relationships and my health and life decisions, whatever that is for you today, you're saying, where are those someones? I want you to know that first, we need a vertical someone in our life. You need to understand that God is for you, not against you. And no matter what you've jacked up in your story, Jesus is able to fix it. Jesus is greater than what you've done. His work is so much greater than your good things and your bad things. And so Jesus is that vertical someone. God considered you. Jesus confronts sin and is compassionate towards you. And Jesus is committed to you. And so today, if you don't know him in that way, you are invited to know Jesus today. July 15th, the day where you say, Jesus is not text on a page. He's not words in a song. He's not some idea. He's not some religion. He's way bigger than that. He's my personal God who came to this world to make sure that I would be pushed towards God. That's who Jesus is. And so I'm excited for you today as you consider Jesus. Say, I want him to be my Savior. Now, Christ followers in this space, you say, hey, I know Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. Well, then Hebrews 10:24 has to be your life verse. Come on, let us, Christ followers, consider how we're going to stir each other up. How are we going to push one another in a way where it's not like my son pushing his sister off the swing trying to cause injury, but towards the end of the video where he's like, okay, I'm going to slow down now and I'm going to consider what needs to be done here. God, I'm be honest with you. Just because I'm up here with the microphone and on a little elevated platform doesn't mean I need people to push me in my life. You need people to push you. That was too loud of a mm-hmm, Joe. All right, calm down, bro. But I need people to push me in my life. You need people to push you in your life. We all do. Every single person in this space, we need people who will push us. I need people who know what I'm going through in my marriage, who know what I'm going through as a parent, who know what the decisions I'm making financially, all those things, so that someone, not anyone, but someone can push me. And so you don't need a group of anyone's. You need a group of someone's. That's what it is. You can find a group of anyone's. Your Facebook account is anyone's. You need a group of someone's in your life. You need people who are considering you, who are confrontational and compassionate, and are committed to making sure you're stirred up towards love and good works. That's who you need. That's who I need. And that's why we are so excited about groups launching here in September. Because circle settings where we are gathering week after week in someone's home to get to know each other, that's where you're going to find someone who's going to consider what you're going through, who's willing to have confrontation and compassion, and they're committed to what you're going through and who you are to make sure you're pushed towards Jesus. And so every single person in this space, that's why we are so amped about groups. That's why you're invited to be in a group this fall. And so right now, I'm going to ask you to do something. In the chair back in front of you, there is a group interest card. And you're like, yeah, but you've been talking about this for weeks. Yes, I know. One more week, because we want to collect as much data as we can before we roll out our groups. So if you have not filled out one of these group cards, The first question is a decision question. Are you interested? You might say no. That's okay. Just check that off. It still helps us understand who's interested and who's not. It's completely anonymous. Just helps us gauge what kind of groups and when the groups should be. But if you would today, take 1 minute. It's all it's going to take. Check off the boxes that you need and drop it in one of the giving boxes on the wall before you leave. And next week, as we finish up our squad goal series, we're going to have cards that are going to list all the group hosts' names and locations, and we are so excited about that, what days they're going to be on, and we're going to be amped for September, because I need people who are going to push me. Not just anyone, and not no one. I need someone's, and that's who you need. I'm going to ask you to stand. The band's going to come up. We're going to respond with a song. But I want to direct an invitation right now to you. If as I'm talking, you're saying, you know what? I haven't recognized Jesus as the vertical someone who pushes me in my life. I have never made a decision to say, Jesus, thank you for coming to this world to push me. Thank you for entering this space, our planet, our world, to come down and confront the sin that so easily grabs our hearts, to be compassionate towards us and love us, to be committed to laying down your life. If you've never had that moment in your life where you've realized Jesus came to push you towards God, and today you're saying there's something stirring up in me where I want to embrace God. I want to leave this space, going back to my horizontals, but knowing that there is a vertical Savior who goes with me. There is a God who goes with me. And today I want to invite you to know Jesus in that way. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes as we pray. And as I pray right now, if you'd say, Jesus, I want you to be the person that has pushed me towards God. Listen, there's no one else that can do it. There's no one horizontally that can push you towards God like Jesus can. He is the only one. He is the one who came and lived a sinless life and died a death for us so that we might know God the Father. And so right now as I pray, you want to know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And I'm asking you to raise your hand as a way of saying, God, here I am. Thank you for saving me. So all across this room, let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you, Lord. You see each hand that is raised right now. You see those who are praying to you in their seat, in their spot. And we are thanking you that Jesus came to this world to be the one who would push us towards you. That you considered what we were going through, and Jesus came and confronted sin and was compassionate towards sinners, and Jesus was committed so that we might find life in him. Right now, I pray for every person in this space. I pray that we would not go through life believing the lie that no one can push us, that we wouldn't allow the anyones to rule out the someones in our life. Cause us to be people who stir one another up. I thank you. You love us. And I thank you for the love that is in this space. In Jesus' name, amen.